ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 11th chapter, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, text number 35. Saye sanaraloka asmin, saye sanaraloka asmin, avatirna swa mayaya. Avatirna swamayaya Remi Shri Ratna Kulasto Remi Shri Ratna Kulasto Bhagavan Prakrito Yata Sa. He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isa, all this, Naraloke, on this planet of human beings, Asmi, on this, Avatirna, having appeared, Sva, personal, internal, Mayaya, causeless mercy, Remi, enjoyed. So Rama means pleasure, Remi means enjoy, being enjoyed. Shri Ratna, woman who is competent to become the wife of the Lord. Kulasta, among Bhagavan, personality of Godhead. Prakrita, mundane, yatha, as if it were. Translation. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, out of His causeless mercy, appeared on this planet by His eternal potency and enjoyed Himself among the competent women as if He were enjoying in mundane affairs. Okay, let's repeat the translation again. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, out of His causeless mercy, appeared on this planet by His internal potency and enjoyed Himself amongst competent women, as if He were engaging in mundane affairs. So, Srila Prabhupada has given a purport for nearly 2 pages. Let us see what Srila Prabhupada is saying. When this word mundane affair has come, I know Prabhupada will be refuting the Lord's activities. Let us see. It's a very good purport actually. It takes a while, so we'll have a break for about 10 seconds and then read again after we cross one page. The Lord married and lived like a householder. This is certainly like a mundane affair, but when we learn that He married 16,108 wives and lived with them separately in each and every palace, certainly it is not mundane. Therefore, the Lord living as a householder amongst His competent wife is never mundane. And His behavior with them is never to be attested as a mundane sex relation. The women who became the wives of the Lord are certainly not ordinary women, because to get the Lord as one's husband is a result of many, many millions of births tapasya, within brackets austerity. Prabhupada is saying not one, many, many, many millions. When the Lord appears on different lokas or planets or on his planet of human beings, so which means from here Srila Prabhupada is saying Lord has got different planets to go around. This is not the only place. We may think, oh, Krishna has come only to this earth, to Vrindavan, isn't it? We normally think, our mundane mind will think. But Prabhupada is making it very clear, Lord appears on different lokas, planets, or planets, it is giving the translation, or on the planet of human beings. So there may be even very powerful planets, and also, you know, planets of demigod also, it includes them, probably. He displays his transcendental pastimes just to attract the conditioned soul to become his eternal servitors. Friends, parents and lovers respectively in the transcendental world, where the Lord eternally reciprocates such exchanges of services. Service is pervertedly represented in the material world and broken untimely, resulting in sad experience. The illusioned living being, conditioned by material nature, cannot understand out of ignorance that all our relations here in this mundane world are temporary and full of inebrieties. Such a relationship cannot help us to be happy perpetually, but if the same relation is established with the law, then we are transferred to the transcendental world after leaving this material body and become eternally related with him in the relation we desire. So the establishment of our relationship with the Lord depends on our desire. That's why we see sometimes, you know, people, they don't desire to go back to Godhead. What can Krishna do, you know? Isn't it? See, I don't want to come to the temple. I don't want to worship Krishna. I don't want to chant. What Lord can do? What Lord cannot do anything? If there is a desire, then the Lord will fan the desire and he will make more and more and he will help us. If someone does not have a desire, fine. Lord is not bothered. He does not want to help. The women amongst whom he lived as the husband are not therefore women of this mundane world, but they are eternally related with him as transcendental wives, a position which they attained by the perfection of devotional service. That is their competency. The Lord is Parabrahma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conditioned souls seek after perpetual happiness in all places, not only on this earth, but also on the other planets throughout the universe, because constitutionally a spiritual spark, as is, can travel to any part of the God's creation. But being conditioned by material modes, he tries to travel in space by spacecraft and so fails to reach his destination. The law of gravitation is binding upon him like the shackles of a prisoner. By other processes, he can reach anywhere. But even if he reaches the highest planet, he cannot attain the perpetual happiness for which he is searching life after life. So there is a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Brahmanda Brahmine Ko Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Latam Vich. So the living entities is wandering in the material world, you know, life after life. Life after life they are wandering. And Srila Prabhupada elsewhere in the purport, he says that the conditioned living entity is never tired of sense gratification. Never tired. That is why they are getting body after body. So Srila Prabhupada is saying life after life. Right? They are searching. When he comes to his senses, right? However, he seeks after Brahman happiness, knowing for certain that unlimited happiness which he is seeking is never attainable in the material world. As such, the Supreme Being Parabrahma certainly does not seek this happiness anywhere in the material world. Nor can this paraphernalia of happiness be found in this material world. He is not impersonal because he is the leader and supreme being amongst the innumerable living beings. He cannot be impersonal. He is exactly like us and he has all the propensities of individual being in fullness. He marries exactly like us, but his marriage is never mundane, nor limited by our experience in the conditioned state. His wives, therefore, appear like mundane women, but actually they are transcendental, liberated souls, perfect. So, perfect manifestation of internal energy. So these wives, they are all, you know, situated in the Lord's spiritual energy. So the purport ends there. Om Ajnana Chamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Mandalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruye Shri Chaitanya Manohisma Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kathamahi Tadati Svatadati. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada brings about 3 points, right, for us to understand. What are the 3 points? Can anyone make a guess? Or can anyone bring out some enlightenment? 3 points is making it very clearly.
God is performing all the activities which looks like a material state, but it is not.
That is right. That is one of the points also. I thought exactly. So he's saying the Lord's activities are not mundane. The Lord has got super excellent, superhuman, excellent pastimes. Right? It cannot be compared at all. It cannot be compared. Even though Krishna comes and, you know, he lives like us, cannot be controlled because the Lord is free from the 3 modes of material nature. The first thing you have to understand, the Lord's nature is transcendental, beyond the 3 modes. Right? As Burujana Prabhu explained in the farm, you know, he said at one point which just struck me, you know, he said, whatever we see in this material world is only 3 modes of material nature. Right? All our experiences are based on the 3 modes of material nature, right? Whatever we see in the past, in the present, now, is all based on the 3 modes of material nature. So how can you imagine someone who is beyond the 3 modes of material nature, transcendental? How do you know? Only by Shastra, the Vedic literatures. Otherwise one cannot know. Because anything, you know, we think of this, will it be like a computer? Will it be like a car? You know? Will it be like our house? That's what we think. Because our perceptions is based on the 3 modes of material nature, nothing beyond that. So, the scriptures gives us a beautiful definition and Srila Prabhupada can explain. The person who has seen, the person who has realized. So that's why, Lord, that is correct, Prabhu. And second I thought is, Srila Prabhupada very clearly establishes the fact that God realization has got 3 aspects. He talks Brahma, right? Super soul. And then Bhagavan aspect. Krishna is a Bhagavan, the highest aspect, God realization. So one should understand Krishna, he is a person. Otherwise, understanding Krishna is not at all easy. First you have to understand that Krishna is a supreme person. It's the first basis understanding. Otherwise, no matter whatever you do, you will not get into Krishna consciousness at all. And the third point he says that one can never be, he says, right, you can take life after life in different planets, you will not be happy. So one can never be happy in this material world. We have to stamp that in our head, okay? All of us. We can never be happy in this mundane material world. If the stamp is not there, it's very difficult. Krishna consciousness. Because you know, just I can enjoy the material nature. Enjoying material nature means exploiting the material nature. Exploiting means contaminated with the three modes of material nature. Once you are contaminated with the three modes of material nature, the spirit soul cannot be realized. Cannot be realized. Okay? So, this is the 3 point I thought. Right? And then, Srila Jiva Goswami refutes the statement. Right? He said, how can you say, one can say that the Lord's activities are mundane? Right? Even if someone says that the Lord's activity is mundane, Jiva Goswami says, how can it be possible it's not mundane? Because he gives the fact that, okay, mundane person, right? What does he do? He enjoys a household world, he has sexual relationship with his wife, etc. You know? But why is he doing that? Srila Prabhupada is saying, because it's due to his shortcomings. Right? I have a shortcoming, so I feel when I enjoy, I'll be happy. You know, something is harassing me, so I take a cigarette. Shortcoming, see? But Jiva Goswami is saying, what shortcoming Krishna has got? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anandi Raja Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. He's the cause of all causes. So what shortcomings Krishna has got? No. So why does he enjoy the mundane day? So Jiva Goswami refutes. No. So Krishna's activity is the transcendental. And moreover, he also says, the mundane person, right, is, what is he? He is under the clutches of the material energy. See, the material energy is holding him. He is not free. If one thinks that he is free, it's foolishness, illusion, right? The material energy is catching, clutches. Srila Prabhupada uses that. One is never free. That's what Krishna says. One has to transcend the three modes. Three modes of material nature has to be transcended. Then one is free. Otherwise, the three modes of material nature will not leave. That is why Srila Prabhupada many times he says, devotion service 24 hours a day. Whatever may be devotion service 24 hours. Right? Otherwise, the three modes of material nature will harass you. Will, you know, it will not leave you. You know, you are under the clutches. We have to free ourselves from these three modes. So, and the mundane person is under the grip of the three modes of material nature. But Krishna, he acts on his internal energy beyond the three modes. So what is the need for him, for his shortcomings and attraction to, you know, other persons? And all the persons, the wives, their lords, pleasure potencies. The Lord is the one who created. It's a lot of pressure potencies, you know, because Krishna's energy will just work based on his desire. He did not have to, suppose if I want to have a breakfast, I have to go take a plate and ask the Prabhu, Prabhu, put some khichdi. And then eat. I have to do this endeavor. Krishna, no. His energy, if he desire, not even desire, you know, if you think only, all his energies will come. Come on, what do you want? You want Aishwarya Shakti? Or Kripa Shakti? You know, all will come. Material energy, spiritual energy, all Shaktis will manifest for the Lord. He is a controller, you know. Ishvara Parama Krishna, controller. He is controlling all the Shaktis. So it's not a problem for him.
Right.
Then, pious activities, right? It said also one sentence Srila Prabhupada says, how about all these wives of Krishna? Did they do any pious credits? He said they did, devotion service of pious credits, millions and millions of births, right, to get that. Right? So, one may be under the concept of pious activities, right? They may think, okay, if I do some pious credits, pious activities, then I can also have association with the Lord. One may think, right? So, that's not correct. So, let us see what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our previous Acharya, he explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 22 chapter, 45th verse in the purport, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur identifies three categories of pious activities. We have to understand this very clearly, right? Because sometimes, you know, in India especially, they say, pious, I've done this, I have given some money to someone better, so I will go to, you know, something, you know. But, right? This is a pious activity. Right? No, I've given some $50 to, you know, some donation. Some Salvation Army, I give $50, now I'm going back to Godhead. No, you have to come back to enjoy that. Next breath, the Salvation Army will give you a jumper. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what he is saying is, he is saying pious activities can be classified into three categories. The first one is pious activities aimed at frugal enjoyment. What is that? That is known as bho and mukti sukriti. Bho and mukti sukriti is known as pious activity aimed at fruitive actions. So if I dig a well this time, and next time I'll become a chief engineer of Melbourne Water. See, with a purpose. Right? That is what they do. That is known as bhogan mukti sukriti. Then pious activity aimed at for liberation, which is mokshan mukti sukriti. Moksha, they are aiming for moksha, right? Liberation. Liberation here should be very clearly understood that this kind of liberation is not supported by the Lord or His pure devotees. Okay? Now this kind of liberation means liberation from the material bondage, Brahman aspect. You go, spirit soul goes there and you merge with the light. You will be on the light, that's it, somewhere in the light. It will be some, you know, big light will be there and you will be there. And Srila Prabhupada explains that because you are a soul which is very highly, who is very active in nature, you go there, what do you do with the light, you know? If someone says, I'll give you 8 hours job, all you have to do is look at the light, you know. He said, I don't want the job. Like that. So the soul which is very active in nature get fed up and they fall down. And when they fall down, they become like Prime Minister, CEO, whatever maybe, you know, Premier and all that. And they do some atrocities and next birth they become a dog. One birth Prime Minister, next birth a dog. See how the material energy is treating them? That is why we should never take shelter of material energy. The material energy, one birth, you know, you are like a piece of paper. You will be on the top of the 10th floor. Next birth, you will be on the drainage. It will treat you like a, you know, what do you call, like a stool. This is what material energy is treating to all the, but still we are attached to material energy. It is harassing a person, you know. One birth CM, next birth, you know, a dog, a next birth like a cat. They're harassing material energy. But Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's spiritual, very safe, assured. No problem. You are not going to have a rebirth, 90%, whatever may be. Because there's also some factor, depends on the law. And the other thing is, even if you take bath, you will become a, you will get a human form of birth to continue your devotion service. See? What a clarity of expression, you know. So why do we hang on with the material energy which gives us a lot of harassment basically, you know? Seven kinds of suffering. Birth, death, old age, disease, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Daivik. Troubles caused by the own body and mind. The other day I went to one of the offices, you know, in Springvale. One lady, you know, she was trying to, she was okay, you know, like you can say, the moderate ages, but she's not able to walk in the sense that she's dragging her feet, you know. Do you understand? She's not walking, dragging her feet. I thought, oh, this is Adi Atmik. Trouble caused by the own body and mind. You know? And some other time you'll be going, someone will stab you or shoot you. Adi Bhautik. Trouble caused by other living entities. And apart from that, we always got the Adi Devik, you know, Melbourne weather. It's always Adi Devik. You know? It'll be very nice and suddenly, you know, Varuna will get pleased with us and he will say, come on, you will blow the devotees up. So this is always going on. And apart from this, birth, death, old age, disease, you know, constantly the body is changing. So why do we want this kind of thing? So that's why it's the second thing, and we talked about the liberation. The third one is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying pious actions that awaken one's devotional service, which is known as Bhakti Anmukhi Sukrit. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is targeting. And he says, even by association with the devotee, willingly or unwillingly, you get pious credit. Sometimes we'll ask devotees, Prabhu, we have time, can you come to the Sunday feast? No problem, I'm not interested. See, he's making progress. And don't say, you know, next time when I call you, not, you know, if you come to the Sunday feast, you make more progress. But even if you say, because association with the devotees, they make progress. Right? It is what we can imagine how this Harinam Sankirtan is benefiting, you know, the community, right? When they go and see devotees and they hear Harinam, they're making advancement. This is the potency of spiritual life, you know. Unimaginable, isn't it? Right? We can't even believe that. How it is that? Because the Lord's spiritual potency, so powerful it is. Alright. So, pious studies, where does it come from? Pious studies comes from religion. Right? Religion says there are four primary subjects of talk. Right? Whenever you say religion, say I belong to religion, Christian religion. I belong to Muslim religion. I belong to Hindu religion. What does it mean? Srila Prabhupada says, religion means four aspects. What are they? They are pious, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma means pious activities. Artha means economic development. Kama, sense gratification, and moksha is liberation. Liberation means Brahman, liberation. Nothing to do with association with the Lord. If you want to have association with the Lord, devotional service. What Krishna says. If you do that, then you'll be with. If you do your own liberation, which is we want to get your own liberation to the Brahman, then you can do anything, you know. That doesn't matter. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So, these are the four things religion is talking about. And the pious activities come from adharma. So, we should be very clear because people think that pious activities and they do like this, you know. Really, it is going on in India, you know. You see a beggar, you give them 1 rupee. And they think that, okay, I'm going back to Godhead. No, it's wrong. So pious activity, Bhakti Vinod Thakur very clearly says, right? What are the three types? Okay. As Srila Prabhupada points out, human life begins when the religion begins. So if someone is not following these four things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it is not human. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These are the things which is going on now. Which means it is animalistic life. It's nothing to do with human life. Human life means you should start with dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which is pious activities, etc., etc. So, you can imagine outside, okay? You can have a sort of, representation what it belongs to. Alright. And we also see in the purport that Krishna, right? Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna's activities are not mundane, right? Just to give an example, Brahma Samhita, it says, Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma Sevyamana. Thousands of Lakshmis are serving Krishna. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we come here, we think Krishna is too small. Okay, the Lord, you know, we don't understand. Thousands of Lakshmis are serving. Narayana is served by only one Lakshmi. We have to clearly understand this. Vishnu, right? We are saying, right? No doubt about it. We can say Vishnu, Krishna. But Vishnu is very, you have to make it very, very clear. Vishnu is served by one Lakshmi. Krishna is served by millions of Lakshmi. So imagine the potency of Krishna. Lakshmi and Krishna is, Prabhupada is saying very nicely, Lakshmis are gopis. Doesn't matter. Expansion. Expansion of gopis, Lakshmi. It's not the other way around. Because gopis are, you know, their original Lakshmis actually. So Krishna is served by thousands of people. Brahma is saying that. Then why would the Lord, if the Lord is being served by thousands of millions of Lakshmis, why would the Lord has to come back to enjoy mundane activity? It doesn't make sense, right? For example, if I am a millionaire, I've got a lot of money, why should I work for $100? Someone is saying, okay, you do some work, I'll give you $100. Why should I work? Millionaire Krishna, why should he come and have mundane relationship with ladies, you know? So one should be very clear with this thing. Brahma Samhita says that. And also, Kankarpa Koti Kamaneya Vishesha Shobhana. Krishna's beauty is such that, right? He is millions of cupids. The God of love is Cupid. The Lord of love is Cupid. Millions of Cupid are attracted to Krishna. See, that is the God of love, Cupid. Millions of them are attracted to just by Krishna's beauty. Then can you see, this is how we have to understand Vedas. So, if Vedas are saying that scriptures, then we can imagine. Then we can imagine transcendental, beyond the three modes. Yes, that means Krishna's beauty is so nice. You know? Cannot even imagine. We have never seen a mundane person who is very beautiful. The mundane beautiful is only ugly. But imagine Krishna's beauty. Alright, so that is how it is. And then You see it there. So, and Srila Prabhupada, you know, in one of the sentences he talks about how one suffers, right? In the material world, you know, the one can never be happy, you know. So I was reminded of a joke about what Srila Prabhupada made, you know, once. Interesting one. Once in India, Srila Prabhupada came to know about a person, okay? Now this person was claiming himself to be a god during Prabhupada's time. Imagine, okay? Now he said that, you know, he passed on the information of the message that he is a god, you know, he has full control over the three modes of material nature, etc., etc. Prabhupada came to know this because one of the disciples saw Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I would like to see this personality. Please bring it here. Okay? Then somehow, you know, they said, okay, our guru is there, he wants to see you. That man, okay, I can come. Nowhere, whatever you want, I can come. Because he thought at the time, when he sees Srila Prabhupada, his name and fame will grow, right? Because, oh, I have seen such a founder, and he has said that I am a god. That means that's what they are working for. All the mundane people are working for name, fame and glory. That's all they are working. They got nothing to do with Krishna, you know. They don't attribute glories to the Lord. They want to take glories for themselves. So Prabhupada said, okay, bring him. Then this person somehow came to Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada looked at him. Okay. So then he said, you know, some asked a few questions. Generally, you know, Prabhupada don't attack him like that. He was talking, you know, that, okay, I believe that, you know, that the rumors are going around that you are God. And that. He said, yes. I am God. I am control. I can control things. Oh, very good. Oh, you know, mystic yoga and all that. Oh, I know, you know, I've tried, you know, but it's not working now. Whatever, like that, you know. I know. Okay. Then he said, Prabhupada asked a simple question. In the last 6 months or 1 year, did you have any disease or anything like illness? Did you suffer anything? He said, yes. I was not sick for many time, you know, and then I recovered. Oh, so you were suffering before. Yeah, I suffered and then immediately I recovered. Then he said, Prabhupada said, then you are a suffering God. Krishna is an enjoying God. So you are a suffering God, you know. So how can God suffer? See the concept, okay? He's a God, but he suffers. So he said, no. Immediately with that, Prabhupada smashed by saying, yes, Krishna is an enjoying God. So how can that God suffer? Alright. And then, with regard to Prabhupada's statement, again they are refuting, you know, they are saying that yes, Krishna's activities are superhuman, okay? With one more statement, and then we'll wrap up with a small story. We have seen that in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other advanced and pure devotees, that when they are in ecstasy, when they are in love of God, they could not check themselves. Right? For example, starting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know many times that he could not check his tears, right? It keeps coming. He does not know that he's crying. Look at that kind of ecstasy for the Lord, you know, the highest love of God. Okay? Tears are flowing, you know, and he could not even realize that he's crying. It sometimes, you know, the whole area will be wet. Okay? Now this he exhibited when he was in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the castles were there, children build castles, and sometimes because of the wind, you know, it's a desert part, you know, the wind will make like a castle, like a sand pit, you know. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looking that, he will think, oh, does it go over the hill? He thinks that it's Govardhana, right? And he runs, oh, Krishna is playing in Govardhana with his cowherds and cows. I will go and I will participate in the pastimes of the Krishna. He will cry and go, completely oblivious to the fact that he is on the material world. He does not know that he is in the material world. He will run, and then his followers also will go. He will be crying and, you know, crying and going. His followers will also cry. When the Lord is crying, he will go there, and then, you know, they will wait for some time. The Lord will go. He will go in ecstasy, and they will be scared. What will happen to him? They will wake him up. And when he wake him up, he will get a little bit disturbed. He says, why do you disturb me? I was enjoying the pastimes with the Lord. Why did you wake me up? This was a time when Krishna called me. I am with him, you know. Like that, you know. Why do you wake him up? And again he will cry. Again the devotees cry. This kind of transcendental ecstasy was displayed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, the love of Godhead. If everything is mundane, then why this happen? Isn't it? Then nothing happens to a mundane personality. I don't look at someone and get the love of God and cry. isn't it? That is again refuted. And then we see also in the case of Rukmini Devi, which we discussed in the farm. Right? Rukmini Devi at that time, it was India in a very Vedic system was prevailing, right? At the time, a woman cannot even look at the man. Nowadays, when women look, I bow down my head. I feel shy. You know, this is our mundane system. But those days, I'm telling you. So, Rukmini Devi, what she did was, she wrote love letter to Krishna. Those times, just imagine, Vedic times, okay? Writing love letter, she did not check her, what you call her shyness, see? For Krishna, she did not check her shyness. She said, yes, I want to, because she heard about Krishna through Narada Muni. She said, I want to marry him. She is not even seeing Krishna. Through, see? Shravana. She heard about Krishna and she wants to, so she wrote a letter to the Krishna about how he has to come and kidnap her. She has put the plan. And then she sent it to a Brahmin and the Brahmin came and Krishna came and arranged and kidnapped, like that. So this is Krishna, Rukmini Devi, you know, who is a goddess himself, you know. He's not different from Lakshmi or Gopi. And then Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he did not check his ecstasy. You know what Madhavendra Puri is? Such a pure devotee of the Lord, exalted personality, that he will be walking, okay? He will be looking, because all the, whenever he is walking or doing something, those activities are described by the Lord. The Lord wants sandalwood to be applied. So he will go in search of sandalwood to the forest, like that. So when Madhavendra Puri was once going, he saw at the time evening, a rain cloud, you know, the color of Krishna's, you know, blackish blue color. The moment he saw that, he fainted. How many of us have fainted in the past when we see the color of the sky? No, just we have to think of that. He faints basically looking at the color of the bluish black complexion of Krishna. He faints basically. These are the ecstasies exhibited by advanced devotees. They don't have the internal, at the time, sorry, they don't forget their external constitution. Completely forget. They forget that they are the body. Completely forgot, only soul and, you know, devotion to the Lord. That kind of, you know, thing was exhibited. Okay, now we will wind up that. Before we wind up with a story. Okay, the story I took today is the glories of Purushottam month, because Purushottam month is going to finish, right? It's highly important how the Purushottam month is considered to be the topmost month. Okay, how powerful it is. So what happened once Krishna saw the Pandavas in the forest, right? That was during the time of the exile, right? And the Pandavas went to the forest. Now Krishna looked at them. After looking at Krishna, the Pandavas were immediately happy. All the distress went away, because it's a distress condition in the forest, right? It all went away, you know. So the Lord, looking at the Pandavas, see, the Pandavas looking at the Lord, the distress went away. But the Lord looking at the Pandavas got upset and angry. He said, my devotees are punished like this? So immediately he got angry. It looked as if the Lord is going to destroy the world, if Krishna thought finished. But immediately the Pandavas pacified him with prayers with Arjuna. Then he was pacified. The Lord was pacified by Arjuna's prayer. He said, okay. Then he came to senses. See, the Lord, you know, immediately he came to senses, okay. Then after he came to senses, he said, okay, thank you very much. I am just moved by your devotion, okay. Then he was saying, he was thinking, why did this happen to you? Krishna knows everything. Right? He said, that is because in the past few months, when you were in the desert, Purushottam month have gone by. You did not do any austerity for that month. Right? So your suffering has increased now. Okay? Otherwise it would be eliminated. It is increasing now. Maybe you people were doing the ritualistic activities given by Vyasadeva. Right? You were following, but you were not doing devotion service for me. But it is just, we have to bear in mind that this is the pastime of the Lord. Okay? We should not immediately think, okay, that means the Pandavas are like us. Okay? No, they are put into the probable condition by the Lord. See, one thing we have to very, very clearly understand in spiritual life is the Lord uses his devotees. He knows whom to use, how to use, what to use, right? He knows whom he is dealing with. When he is dealing with Chitraketu Maharaj, right? Bharat Maharaj becoming a deer, Krishna knows whom he is dealing with. He does not make fool of things, right? So he very clearly knows. So he said, okay, maybe, you know, for the future, next year, because they are having an exam for 14 years, maybe next few times you should worship Purushottama month. Then he said, okay, now having come here, I will tell you, Krishna himself said this, I will tell you the glories of Purushottama month, which is going on currently. He said, once upon a time, by the arrangement of providence, the material energy, an extra month was put into the system. Right? Extra month. This extra month is also known as Adhik Mas, right? Adhik means extra, isn't it? Hindi. Adhik Mas or Mala Masa. That's what they also call. Now this extra month, because it came into existence, all the other month irritated and ridiculed at her. They started blaspheming, you know, talking bad words. They treated this month like a stool, you know, untouchable. I will not touch. People harassed her like anything. And then this month got so much affected, the extra month, Adhik Mas. So she was constantly crying and she was upset and all that. Now she thought, okay, I am going to take this matter to Lord Vishnu. Okay? So what she did, she crying and she went to Lord Vishnu. Looking at a pathetic condition, Lord Vishnu was quite moved, okay? And she was still crying and upset, you know. People, see, when you understand, sometimes, you know, when we see, when person upsets you, right? It is so, you know, difficult to digest that, isn't it? See, in a day, if 10 people keep on observing, you are like this, you are like this. Ladies, you may have some experiences. So like that, it's very difficult to digest. Even when you are chanting, that will come. Someone told me that I am like this. Should am I really like that or not like that? It keeps on coming. That. So this Adhik Mas was one of the victims like that. Keeps on coming. So she came to Vishnu, constantly crying. Then Vishnu said, once you have come into my shelter, I will take care of you. Don't you worry. Stop crying. I will protect you. Protection is assured. Okay. Then he said, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu saying, now I can give you protection, but to make you holy or to make something beyond what is happening, I cannot do. I don't have the power. Now let us go to Lord Krishna. Okay? So Vishnu took the hand of her, because she's like a daughter, took the hand and both of them went to Lord Vishnu's of a Goloka Vrindavan. Right? While going immediately, you know, as they were going, right, the lady was getting confidence from that because Lord Vishnu is there, obviously. And as they went closer to Goloka Vrindavan, there was a lot of effulgence and this person could not even see because Brahma Jyoti, Krishna's effulgence is coming, Goloka. And then Vishnu could see, obviously, you know. And then somehow this lady went through that and they went to Goloka Vrindavan and they saw Krishna playing with the covered boys and gopis and all that. Then again this lady could not help crying. She was constantly crying. Oh, I was upset this one. Then when they saw, then Krishna was like, who is crying in Goloka? You know, Krishna asked, who is crying? Goloka Vrindavan, this is. Because the crying got the attention of the Lord, the Supreme Lord. Then immediately Lord Vishnu went and said, this is the personality, Adi, and she has been terribly upset, offended by all people and all that. Now she wants protection. Please help her out, you know. Now Lord Krishna said, and then Vishnu offered obeisances, Hare Krishna. Then Krishna accepted the obeisance and said, okay, I will try my best to do it. And because she has come to my protection, what I will do is, I will try to imbibe all my spiritual potency to her. Now she is as equal as me in fame, name, glory, power, etc., austerities, etc. So she will become very famous. Now because of that, I will call her as Purushottama Mant, which is my name only. Right? And then she will be like my wife. So what else do you want? Are you happy? You know, that lady was quite happy. You know? Yes, I will do that. So that has become Purushottama Mant, topmost month. And Krishna said that, okay, now this is the significance of this month. And he said, what you should do and what you should not do, right? Just quickly, very quickly, Krishna said, my Goloka is unattainable to the performance of austerities, Mahatmas engaged in pious activities, and one you following celibacy for the whole lifetime, and one who goes to fast for the entire duration of life. You don't even eat for the entire life. Even then you cannot attain me. Right? But simply by doing devotional service in the Purushottama month, you can come back, you can cross the material existence and come back to me. Right? And he says, like, he gives an example, Krishna, like a farmer. The farmer, when he wants a good crop, what does he do? He does not put it in the bad season. He waits for the good season, good time, sunlight, etc. He plants that crop and he gets more yield. In the same way, an intelligent person should use this month and do a lot of austerity. Then, what do you get? You get more yield, devotional yield. And with the yield, it's very easy to go back. We've got bank credits, you know, devotional credits we've got. So one should make use. Krishna himself is saying that. Right? And then he also says, however, if a person does not make use of it, and he does not, he says, see, these are a couple of things Krishna himself is saying, if he does not perform japa, chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, okay? One, he does not give any charity. Two, three, he does not pay respect to Lord, to me and my devotees. Three, right? And four, does not behave properly to brahmanas. And six, makes enmity with others and who blasphemes the Purushottama month will definitely go to hell. There is no better way for us to go to hell. If you do all this, we are going back to the hell. Okay? So, and how can a person, Krishna himself saying, how can a person make successful use of this? He is saying, this Purushottama month you should do, worshipping me. One, chanting my holy name. Two, study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Four, giving in charity. Five, offering ghee lamp daily. So if you do all that, what do you get? You are simply transported to spiritual world. You will not have any material miseries. You will not have material problems. You will be always happy. This is the thing Krishna is giving. And thus, Krishna said, now you know, Pandavas, what happened for the Purushottama month? You have taken it lightly. Okay? So, in the future years, respect this month and do austerities and you will be fine. Okay? Now, is Krishna talking to Pandavas or Krishna is talking to us? Who is Krishna talking to? To Pandavas, is it? No. In the name of Pandavas, Krishna is talking to us. And Krishna is here. Right? So, this is a tips for advancement and happiness. So if you can all follow that, you can all go back to God and have association with Krishna. So I'll stop here. Let me see any comments, questions or corrections. Gantaraj Sriman Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanam ki.